The Ben Coley Podcast. Hello, I'm going down a slightly different route this week for my podcast, and normally what I like to do is I like to talk to and review and dive into the music from three different unsigned artists every week. This week I'm going to be having an exclusive chat with a signed artist. She's just dropped a brand new single, and the reason why I'm chatting to this particular artist is because I think at the stage she's at in her career, she could really offer a lot of help, a lot of advice to artists that are just starting off in their careers, artists that are just making their way out into the industry. And I think that there's a lot that you can learn from her. And also, I think Nukes has cultivated a lot of her own success way before she was even picked up by a label. She really kind of developed her sound, her artistry, and then got picked up later on. And I think that's perhaps quite an important thing to remember for this. So Nukes is a fascinating artist, and I only stumbled across her recently, actually. And the reason why I wanted to chat to her is because I straight up absolutely love her music. She's just dropped a brand new single called Our Love. But a little bit of context about Nukes, right? So she's actually signed to a label called Golden Egg Records. The record label is called Golden Egg. And this is the passion project by Jake Gosling. So this is ran by Jake Gosling. Jake Gosling is a producer with a pretty illustrious career. He's pretty decorated. So if you've not heard of Jake Gosling before, he's an English music producer. He's also a songwriter and manager as well. But he's worked with artists like Ed Sheeran, Lady Gaga, The Libertines, James Bay, Shawn Mendes, All Time Low, Shania Twain, Paloma Faith. I mean, I could genuinely go on. I've got a full list in front of me. I could go on. But it's also all of the accolades that Jake's got. I mean, Jake Gosling is absolutely no joke. He's a Grammy Award winning and two-time Brit Award nominated multi-platinum selling music producer. And Nukes is an artist so early on in her career that's working with someone like Jake. Someone like Jake that knows how to produce a record, knows what it takes for a song to reach the very top of the mountain. So I think it's really exciting for Nukes. Nukes as an artist is fascinating as well. She's a lovely person. So Nukes is half Lao, half French, and she grew up around Hackney, London, singing at jazz bars and so on and so forth. And certainly this new track, Our Love, you're going to hear that influence in her music. But I'm going to stop chatting now, and I'm going to let her introduce herself. I'm going to let her talk more about her beginnings, her roots, what it's like being signed to Golden Egg. And also, I'm going to chat to her about her new track called Our Love. So, hope you enjoy.
Recently, I've just been put in with an amazing house singer, like gospel woman. Her name's Kathy Brown. We're writing a couple of songs together, you know, for like some dance people. Matt Lamont. But yeah, I've been doing a couple of sessions with her and just focusing on my releases as well, because I've got my first album coming out this year. The singles are coming out throughout the year, and then my album Heirloom comes out on the 3rd of September.
And this is the follow-up to Red Tape, am I right?
Yeah, so that was a mixtape. It was just a bit experimental, just a bit of, you know, just fun stuff to put out, really. More of a eclectic thing. But the album has definitely been more thought out, and some of the songs are quite old, actually. I wrote them a few years ago, and I knew in my head when I wrote them, I was like, these are going to be on my album when I release one.
It seems like you've got a really decent following online. You've got a publisher. You're signed to a small label. How did you kind of get this attention? Where did it all start for you?
Honestly, I don't even know how it came about. It just came around so naturally. I was working at the Grosvenor House Hotel. I got a job through there for a friend, and I started out in housekeeping, worked my way up to HR. So I did all the, you know, the waitressing, all that stuff, and cleaning toilets. And I even filled up the mini bar for the lead singer from M People. And I was like, oh, my God, I swear that's I was like, that's I can't remember. Heather Smalls, I think it is. Oh, I probably got it completely wrong. But yeah. And I was like, oh, my God, that's mad. I'm filling up her mini bar. I've done all sorts of jobs like that. And yeah, my family, and you know, they have the catering sort of background. So I thought that's where I would end up. But having met a few people that I worked with, all in bands, musicians, they were like, come and, you know, have a jam session one day. I was like, yeah, that'd be great. And ended up singing along with a couple of people. And then some of them were just like, you've got a bit of a voice there. And, you know, maybe you'd like to, you know, join in on some of the nights we do and, you know, sing along. Or so my first opportunity was being a backing vocalist. And it just sort of went on from there. I started writing my own songs, but nothing serious. It was just, you know, for fun. Then I met my ex-manager, who got me in touch with lots of other producers and writers, which led to me being heard to Bucks Music Group, who are a UK-based independent publishing company. And that's where I met Sarah Liversidge, who has literally given me so many writing sessions since. And then that's how I met Jake Gosling, who is like basically the guy who signed me to his label, Golden Egg. So I'm one of the, well, I was the first artist to be signed to that label. And now there's Zach, Payjack, Bay, Fergus, Eli.
That's really exciting, because the fact that it's growing so much and hopefully one day this thing's going to become an institution, you're the first artist to start it all off. You're really kind of leading the way for that group of artists, which I think is a really exciting thing to be part of.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's weird being the first one, but it's also like amazing to see everyone join in, all these different artists, completely different styles to each other. We're all entirely different to each other. And I think that's really great, because everyone's got their own sound and we all support each other. We have like a WhatsApp group and we've all become like a family, really.
That's an amazing thing to be part of.
Yeah.
I haven't been into you for that long. It's not like I discovered you years ago. I'm kind of fresh to you, really. So I've got that excitement of like a new fan that's just found a new artist to sink their teeth into. But the first song that I came across of yours a week or so ago was Options. Options was the one, it was literally the first one I clicked on, and I was like, right, okay, let's see what this is all about. And it's obviously very different from Our Love, but Options has been picked up by so many people. I mean, you've had people like Hugh Stevens, you've had people like Annie Mack get on board with you, which is insane. Tell me more about Options and how that came to get recognition.
I don't know. I think, you know, it just got sent around to a lot of people and then passed on, maybe forwarded. And honestly, I was on the phone to my mom and I was like, I might be on Radio One. And so we were all listening, you know, from our houses, like, to Annie Mack, and just thinking, I didn't get played. I didn't realize it was like a 2-hour thing. So she had the power down playlist thing after.
Yeah.
And then the second hour, which I didn't know about, was the power down playlist. And then my mum called me and she was like, Anouka, you were played by Annie Mack, because she's French. So I was like,
in terms of instrumentation, do you play any instruments? Is it that you're predominantly singing, or do you ever add anything to it yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I'll say what I want. Like if I want a flute in there or piano based, you know, song, I'll say exactly what I want, but I'm not an instrumentalist in that sense of the word, but I do write my own lyrics and melodies and sing.
Amazing. And I want to get onto Our Love in a second, but just a couple more things. I read up something quite interesting. You've done backing vocals for Shawn Mendes. That's interesting, yeah, for a lot of reasons. Did you do this via Jake? Was that one of those things, or was this a whole separate opportunity altogether that came about?
No, this was definitely through Jake. So I was out in New York doing writing sessions. And then on one of the tracks, they said, oh, we just need a girl vocal. You can't even hear me. It's like so, like such a high note, high register. And it's, you know, sat underneath all of his harmonies, because he can sing every single range, you know. But it is quite fun to be on a track like that.
And did you learn anything as an artist witnessing someone like Shawn Mendes doing what he does? Was there any little things that he does that you picked up on that you thought, oh, I can take that?
Oh, in terms of artistry, he's an athlete. He get up with his managers. I mean, they all worked out together, and his like close songwriters, they'd be running in the woods, and then he'd do like 2 hour vocal rehearsals, like practice, and he just didn't stop. And then when he finished all of that, he'd just be in the studio writing, just doing his thing, really. He doesn't stop.
I can imagine, especially a guy at that level, you know. And with someone like Jake Gosling in your corner, what's the best bit of advice that Jake, as you know, he's got all these accolades, what's the best bit of advice that he's given to you?
I'm sure he'd say the same thing, but it's basically, if you're going to sing about something, it has to come from you and it has to mean something. You have to really believe in yourself, believe in the journey. And, you know, there have been so many ups and downs where I've been like, why am I doing this? It's really, you know, hit and miss. Sometimes you get like, yesterday, I just found out I was on the Independent playlist, the actual like newspaper thing. And I was just like, this is crazy. I've been doing this for such a long time. This is the first time I've had anything close to like, you know, news.
Let's chat about Our Love, because that's totally blown me away. And I think what really struck me was how different it is from everything else you've done. It's a step back. And when I say a step back, I don't mean in terms of artistry. It's a step forward. In terms of instrumentation, you've stripped so much back and it's so simplistic in terms of what's going on. How did this track come to be? Where did the original ideas start floating around?
This is such an important song for me because it's where I came from. I used to sing in jazz bars in London, and for me, that's where I've always wanted to be. And I think along the way, I was trying to discover who I was as an artist, maybe just trying to figure out where I wanted to be as an artist. But in the end, I came back to the original sound, and that's why that is so simple, because I wrote that about 7 years ago, probably.
Man, so it's just been maturing slowly for 7 years.
Simmering, it's, slow cooking.
Yeah, it's been slow cooking, that's ace. In terms of the instrumentation, it's obviously predominantly strings. You've got those, it sounds like something out of a Bond theme. Like, it's so rich sounding, these beautiful string swells throughout. How did you record them? Is that like a live orchestration, or was that MIDI? How did you go about that?
That's live. So I worked with a guy called Tim Clark with an E at the end, and his wife, she plays strings and she knows like all these, you know, string players, and he arranged the music, and I told him this is the sort of sound I want, sort of lo-fi Bond theme, and he delivered massive.
It sounds like your voice has that soulful jazzy quality to it, and you could lift it out of a different era, like the 60s or something. Did you get classical training when you were younger, or is this just a voice that you kind of just gradually grew into over the years and just practiced in your own time, and it's just an organic thing that way?
It's an interesting one. I basically loved singing as a kid. My dad, being a Lao man, so he's like, it's between Vietnam and Thailand, they love karaoke. They absolutely love it. So I would always hear my dad singing at parties growing up, and everyone would just be singing Lao songs. So I loved it. And my mum was a ballerina and she loved all her music as well. So I'd get so much influence from what they listened to. Yeah, so I watched a lot of films growing up and I loved the old Hollywood stuff, and I'd just copy what I saw on television, you know, and I'd sing along, pretending that I had a different life. So we were quite poor growing up, and, you know, my dad was a refugee, and then my mom and dad got divorced when I was six. So we grew up at a council estate in Hackney with a single mom and all that stuff. And then my mom got remarried to this guy who wasn't amazing, really. And that sort of put me in a situation where I grew up in a cult. So it was like, he was really religious, and I wasn't allowed to sing or listen to music or have friends. And then at the age of 15, I left, and then I found my dad's side of the family. And then I sort of started picking up the pieces from there, and music was my biggest sort of thing that healed me. So that's how I got back into singing. The soul comes from the want to sing, you know, to have the freedom to sing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's almost something so hard fought for, the fact that you were, as you said in your own words, quote unquote, in a cult sort of environment where you weren't allowed to do so many things, your creativity was stifled. It's almost like over the years you've had to really struggle to be able to have the freedom now that you've got to do what you do. And yeah, maybe that struggle makes your creative process even deeper. It makes you feel even more connected to the song, maybe.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, it's quite intense. But I think for every songwriter, the main thing is to just get that message out and to connect with other people. And all you want really is for someone out there to listen and say, oh, I really relate to it. I love that. That sounds really nice.
Yeah, I mean, Our Love totally moved me. And it was also the fact that this chorus is so insane because, like I said before, instrumentally, there's not much going on, but you've got that amazing, beautiful, sultry bass. You've got those beautiful strings, but it's your vocals because then, away from the verse, when it departs into the chorus, it splits into two. You've almost got two melodies going on at the same time. Whose idea was that? Because I thought that was such a genius touch where it just creates this beautiful harmony.
Well, that was just a collaboration, really. Jake and I were just sort of vibing, and I was just in the booth and we just went for it. We were like, just add this, add this, add that, just layers and layers of vocals. And I think that's kind of what I like to do. I love harmonies. I love oohs and ahs and breathiness, but I also like the bass when I sing low as well. So, because I think it gives color and it gives depth and warmth to the track. I mean, singing on pop tracks, I've done it loads, but I always find I sound quite nasally and I'm like, ooh, I'm not into that. I don't like how I sound in certain tracks. I've demoed stuff and I'm just like, please give it to another singer because I don't enjoy singing certain songs, but it sounds amazing on someone else. A voice makes the track, and if it's not for you, it's not for you. I guess the biggest track I've ever done was with one of my label artists, Zach Pajak. We wrote Tied Up for Mr. Easy and Diplo and Ray. So Ray wrote her verse, but we were in the studio with Jake and Mr. Easy originally. And then he just rang Diplo and he was like, hey, check out this song. And I was like, what? He's on the phone to Diplo right now. I was like, this is crazy. And I think that's the fastest song I've ever seen move. And within 3 to 4 months, it was out. I couldn't believe it.
I mean, that is ridiculous. In that sort of situation as well, how do you hold your own? Because, I mean, you're with these, you know, multi-platinum selling artists. They're at the, you know, very top of their game. I wouldn't even know how to kind of approach that situation. I'd get such serious imposter syndrome, but it's so impressive that not only did you embrace that, but you thrived in that environment.
Half of it is down to the artist, and Mr. Easy is just the warmest, nicest person you can ever meet, and he just made it vibey, and Guilty Beats was in there, and we ordered a takeaway curry, and there's like this white table at the studio, and we got all the curry out and then we stained the whole table. The next day the assistant was livid and she was like, what's happened? And she, you know, you stained the whole table, and was like, oh, we just ordered a curry, sorry, and it spilt everywhere.
And quickly back to Our Love before I wrap things up. One of my favourite bits of the song is the ending, because it ends in the best way. It's going along so nicely. It's got such lovely momentum. It's ebbing and flowing. But then it stops mid-sentence. And it's almost like you're literally, the person listening is hanging on your last words. I thought that was such a lovely idea. And you've got that reverb just hanging over at the end. Talk me through how that idea came about, because I think that's quite a unique way of finishing a song.
That, funny enough, was just like the cliffhanger. And when we bounced it without the end, like extra minutes on the end. So when we were listening to it, we got so used to that stop. We were like, we've got to keep it in. And that's how the ending happened, really.
What can I expect from Heirloom?
Heirloom is a story of what I've been through so far. So that includes my childhood, the things I've been through, where my fantasies are. Like, I'm quite sort of spiritual out there. I mean, not, I wouldn't say spiritual, I'd say more of a daydreamer.
Me too.
I remember as a kid, I mean, not having much to do, I'd just be dreaming all the time about a world that was sort of out there. I think for me, my music is an escape, but it's also quite honest. I love that about Heirloom. It's my heirloom to anyone that listens. I come from such a background where my family's sort of been broken, put back together, broken again and put back together. You know, I was looking at this chair that had been passed down from my great-grandmother and it had been completely battered, and I saved all my money and I restored it, and I looked at it and I thought, that's the only family heirloom that we have. And the guy was like, why do you want to fix it? It's not worth anything. But I thought, it holds so many memories and it's got history and it's from my great grandmother. And I thought, it's always been there in my life in the background somewhere. And now it's in my bedroom.
That's such a beautiful sentiment. And I was also going to ask, this podcast is normally about unsigned artists. That's what I love to feature. I feature three different unsigned artists every week. But I would love to hear your advice to them, to an unsigned artist, to an unsigned band listening now, that are making their first steps into the industry. And let's face it, it's an absolutely brutal industry. What would your advice be to those artists to get to the stage that you're at now? And I know you'll say yourself that you've got so much further to go, but what advice would you give to an artist starting out?
I would say just stay true to yourself, true to your sound and your vision. Don't lose sight of what you're doing it for. And if you can't get signed and all these things, you've got to surround yourself with people that are in the same situation as you and build your own sort of group of writers, musicians. And, you know, I still do that. I write with lots of people that are unsigned. It doesn't make me turn my nose up at people. I just look at the talent and the connection that we have. As for releasing music, you can do it yourself. I released my first EP on TuneCore and I got put on Spotify playlists just from self-releasing. So things can happen. You don't even know. I honestly, the Spotify thing, it's like a matrix. I don't get it. I don't know how people get on there. I don't know how I get on there sometimes. I'm just grateful that I am. And also another amazing platform I've found is like Amazing Radio, BBC Introducing. That's all free. You can just upload it and you just don't know who's listening and they might like it and support you. Just keep it real. Just keep it flowing. You've got this.
I love that. That's the quote there. Keep it real. Keep it flowing. You've got this. I think that's awesome.
You can follow me on Instagram at I Am Nukes. So at IAMNUUXS. And then at Nukes on Twitter. So yeah. And Spotify and all that stuff. So yeah, just give me a follow. Support it. I'm on YouTube and all that stuff.
Nukes, you're an absolute legend. Thanks so much for your time.
It was my pleasure.
Isn't she ace? She's so nice. I found it really interesting hearing all about her story. So, this is her track, Our Love. See what you think, and I'll catch you next time.
You've been down this road before. Blues have fire. atmosphere.